Welcome to Barely Audible Whisper, a weekly NPR parody podcast in no way associated with NPR, brought to you in no part by the following parody sponsors.
The Tony Awards, established in 1947, finally relevant this weekend.
Conservatives, offended by Robert De Niro, holding past their prime acting legends to a higher standard than the President of the United States.
And Robert De Niro.
Don't act like you don't know why I said it. You know. You fucking know.
I am Dave.
And I am Molly, and our voices are soft because our satire implies fuck Trump without us having to actually scream.
Fuck Trump!
Speaking of Trump, as always, our Trump impersonator is a woman because we hear he hates that.
Before going to Singapore to gush over Kim Jong-un like a fifth grader pining for the girl in his class who most recently developed breasts.
Kim Jong-un is so funny and talented. If I didn't already owe my presidency to Putin, I would totally take Kim Jong-un to the dictator dance.
President Trump attended the G7 summit where he insisted that Russia should be reinstated as a member by glossing over the fact that they were kicked out for invading Crimea.
Russia should be readmitted into the G7. No collusion. Russia used to be a member, but then something happened and some people got upset about the thing. But the thing is in the past, even though it's the thing in the present. No collusion, even though collusion is the only thing that explains my insistence on Russia rejoining the G8. No collusion!
To make matters worse, President Trump insulted our non-Russian allies and used fake statistics to justify an isolationist trade policy that puts America on the path toward a devastating trade war with Canada, Europe, China, and Japan.
Canada is ripping us off on trade. We are running a $880 trillion trade deficit with Canada because they tax our milk 567 gajillion percent, and we have to pay them $800,000,000,000,000 to buy maple syrup on Amazon, who should have to pay infinity million dollars for stamps.
In addition to making up economic data, President Trump also falsely accused Canada of burning down the White House during the War of 1812.
Canada burned down the White House in 1539 during the War of 1812, which started in 1987 when Canada killed George Washington and Jesus in the Battle of Ham Is Not Bacon.
For international reaction to the president, Barely Audible Whisper is joined via satellite by the first angry Canadian in history.
Donald Trump's a real hoser, eh? I hope he licks a moose's balls and gets his gross tongue stuck frozen like in A Christmas Story to a moose's scrotum.
That is a strong rebuke of the American president.
Sorry.
No need to apologize. A majority of Americans agree with your sentiment.
I know you do, eh? That's why I'm so sorry. I don't want to condemn your whole country just because of one hoser and a minority of hosers who support the hoser-in-chief, eh? That's the kind of thing a hoser like Trump would do. I hope Trump gets his pecker caught in a beaver trap, which is a real thing we have in Canada, and not a sexist metaphor for a vagina, eh?
What would you like to see happen going forward?
Trump should apologize, eh? And for the record, this is the first time in history a Canadian has ever demanded that anyone else apologize.
Unfortunately, Canada is not the only American ally President Trump alienated at this G7 summit. Let's hear from the French.
I do not care about the stupid opinions of your Donald Trump. It's just manifestation of ugly American garbage that has been building in your country for decades. Remember when we French advised you not to go through the war with Iraq and you get in your stupid American feelings hurt and pour out wine in your stupid American protest? How did that work out for you, huh?
Not very well, actually.
Of course not. Meanwhile, your awful American restaurants change the names French fries and French toast to freedom fries and freedom toast. It was childish, like spoiled American childhood does not comprehend symbolism of a single red balloon. Now you have this Trump as your childish president, and the essence of their freedom fry has become the entirety of your foreign policy.
I never thought I'd say this, but let's check in with Germany for a less rigid opinion.
The irony is delicious as a Wiener Schnitzel. An unstable, racist American demagogue poses a grave threat to global stability, and the world is turning to Germany to hold the Western world together. For the first time in 60 years, Germany is proud. But not too proud. We don't want to make that mistake again.
A paid obituary published by the Redwood Falls Gazette in Minnesota caused a controversy for declaring that the deceased, quote, became pregnant by her husband's brother Lyle and moved to California. She abandoned her children, Gina and Jay. The obit written by Jay goes on to say, quote, she died in May 2018 in Springfield and will now face judgment. She will not be missed by Gina and Jay, and they understand that the world is a better place without her.
She died like she lived, despised by her children.
For more on this controversy, we turn to Minnesota correspondent Gundy Gunderson.
Oh, hey there, don't you know? Good old Gundy Gunderson here, reporting from Redwood Falls, Minnesota, formerly known for the famous sod house on the prairie, but best known for an obituary of all things about a bad mom, no less.
Everybody's upset about this darn tootin' obituary, but for Pete's sakes, what about my darn tootin' mom?
Oh, for Pete's sake, your darn tootin' mom shouldn't have done what she done to you. You were only kids, for Pete's sake.
You're darn tootin'.
But on the other hand, you mustn't speak ill of the dead, for Pete's sake.
Ah, jeez, I know it, don't you know? But don't you know that when the deceased lived a bad life, the people they hurt are left to suffer with the darn tootin' truth?
Ah, jeez, I didn't think about that, don't you know? Of course, you're entitled to live in your truth, for Pete's sake.
Ah, jeez, for darn tootin' Pete's sake. The darn tootin' point is not about your darn tootin' truth, for Pete's sake. Don't you know you don't speak ill of the dead or air your dirty laundry for all 5,015 people who live in Redwood Falls, Minnesota?
Don't you know this story went viral, for Pete's sake?
For Pete's sake? Well, that's just darn tootin'.
You're darn tootin', it's darn tootin'. Now every darn tootin' person in the whole darn tootin' world knows how you and my darn tootin' mother ruined my darn tootin' life.
Ah, geez, regarding the darn tootin' recent tragedies afflicting Anthony Bourdain and Kate Spade, I'd just like to take a moment to remind everybody that no matter how darn tootin' your life may seem at your darn tootinest, no life is truly darn tootin'.
Ah, jeez, I didn't mean darn tootin' in the darn tootin'est sense of the darn tootin' expression.
Ah, jeez, I guess the darn tootin' lesson here is that words are powerful, for Pete's sake.
Well, of course they are, for Pete's sake. Don't you know you darn tootin' can't expect to be taken darn tootin' seriously if you're not darn tootin' serious about the darn tootin' words you use to express yourself, for Pete's sake.
Ah, jeez, of course I understand the darn tootin' power of my darn tootin' words, for Pete's sake. That's why I wrote such darn tootin' harsh obituary, don't you know?
Ah, jeez, don't you know your darn tootin' actions are more darn tootin' important than your darn tootin' words, for Pete's sake?
Don't you know that's the whole darn tootin' point, for Pete's sake?
She's got you there, for Pete's sake. Your darn tootin' actions destroyed her darn tootin' childhood.
Ah, jeez, that was a darn tootin' thing to do, for Pete's sake.
For Pete's sake, abandoning your children is about the darn tootin'est darn tootin' thing there is.
Ah, jeez. Can you ever forgive me, for Pete's sake?
Ah, jeez. I can forgive the darn tootin'est you caused in my life, don't you know? If you can forgive the darn tootin'est my obituary caused in your life.
Ah, jeez. It's like the old saying goes, two darn tootin's don't make a right.
For Pete's sake, let's put all this behind us and visit the darn tootin' sod house on the prairie.
That sounds darn tootin' great. From what I've heard, it's a house made of sod that rests on a prairie, for Pete's sake.
Ah, jeez. I love a darn tootin' happy ending, for Pete's sake. Hopefully, the next national news story about a dysfunctional family and a darn tootin' revenge obituary will come out of Florida where it belongs, for Pete's sake.
The CoinRail, a virtual currency exchange, was hacked last weekend. While the theft itself only netted about $40 million worth of so-called cryptocurrency, news of the hack triggered a panic in Bitcoin and other cryptocurrency markets, leading to an almost $40 billion loss in the overall cryptocurrency market from Saturday to Monday.
News that the cryptocurrency exchange was hacked, causing a mass devaluation of the valueless imaginary asset, is being called the most predictable news since the sun rising in the east this morning.
For a deeper look into cryptocurrency, Barely Audible Whisper sent our own Harvard economist, so pretentious he insists on being called Dr. Professor, to sit down for a discussion with Bitcoin enthusiast Bourne Sucker.
Despite the fact that cryptocurrency has lost 60% of its market value since January, the fact that cryptocurrency claims any market value above zero is an overvaluation of worthlessness.
No way! Bitcoin is the future, and the future is now.
Crypto's susceptibility to hacking makes it less stable than Donald Trump doing lines of cocaine off of Kim Jong-un's flat top.
No, because check it. There are like three eras of currency. Commodity-based, politically-based, and now math-based.
Mathematics is useful in counting currency, not backing it. One cannot secure the square of the hypotenuse of the other two sides in Fort Knox, nor rely on the full faith and credibility of A squared plus B squared equals C squared.
I reject the authoritarian monopolized monetary system imposed on us by the authoritarian authorities.
Your rejection is as futile as your intention to fight a money monopoly with monopoly money.
The governments and financial institutions have corrupted money for their own corrupt purposes. Cybercurrency cannot be corrupted.
Apparently, the lesson you learned from the recent spate of data breaches from CoinRail to Facebook is a lesson in not learning lessons.
No way, man. Bitcoin security is based on mutual deterrence. I don't know what that means, but it sounds totally killer.
It means nothing, just as cryptocurrency is worth nothing. Bitcoin is like a Kardashian with an opinion. Its worthlessness is obvious, yet its hashtag keeps trending.
Bitcoin believes in rough consensus and running code.
You've developed an entire economic system based on a motto too trite to be included in a Matrix sequel and a money mining scheme modeled on collecting coins in a Super Mario Brothers game.
Oh, totally! I love Super Mario Brothers.
You could not have missed my point more if my point were the actual money you will actually be missing when your monopoly money gets hacked by a virgin and your anarchist's video game economy slips away and crashes like a Mario Kart struck by a banana peel.
Money is just a piece of paper, man. Money is only valuable because people believe in its value, bruh.
While on drugs, it is important to remember that the profound realizations one experiences while on drugs often merely seem like profound realizations because you are on drugs.
I believe in the value of Bitcoin, therefore, Bitcoin's value is real.
THC, in particular, has been known to block access to the parts of your brain that understand that societal acceptance of the value of money is based on thousands of years of institutional structure, while Bitcoin is simply an object lesson in why economics majors with internet access should not take LSD.
The CIA added four more stars to its memorial wall, which signifies that four more brave CIA agents gave their life in defense of our country. The identities of the heroic men and women on the CIA memorial wall are unknown because their missions often remain classified even after their deaths.
Due to the highly classified circumstances of their deaths, these brave men and women are not able to be properly grieved and honored with a proper funeral. And so, Barely Audible Whisper presents a classified funeral.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to mourn the loss of Redacted. Redacted was a fine Redacted, who served Redacted for Redacted years. Redacted first began his Redacted as a Redacted where Redacted. I first met Redacted in Redacted when Redacted, and could tell right away that Redacted was Redacted. Which is why it was no surprise to me when Redacted. Indeed, Redacted could always be counted on to Redacted, even when Redacted meant Redacted. Or even Redacted. At this time, I would like to invite Redacted up to say a few words.
For those of you who don't know me, my name is Classified. I had a classified relationship with Identity Classified. My fondest memory of Identity Classified remains classified. We were in a classified location on a classified assignment when a particularly classified situation left us with no choice but to do something classified. And Identity Classified looked at me and said something classified. That was Identity Classified for you. Always saying the classified thing at the classified time. Obviously, this was classified. If questioned, I will deny this ever happened.
Hello. I am American-born relative of Redacted. I am in no way connected to Kremlin, and for my own personal grief reasons, which have nothing to do with Russian government, I want to encourage you all to open up a bit. It would mean so much to American family, which is in no way connected to Russian government, if you reveal details. Names, dates, locations, contacts, intelligence. Revealing such information in a clear and audible voice is vital to grieving process.
I'm at a loss for words, partly because of the grief and partly because the words are classified.
It is okay. You are in secure location. I mean emotional safe space.
It just hurts, you know? Not like electrified nipple clamps or waterboarding. It's a different kind of hurt, an inner hurt. I feel like someone redacted my heart the way Redacted and I redacted those redacted in that redacted back and redacted. I'm sorry. I said too much.
It's good to talk. What is colloquial American saying? Loose lips sink? Grief?
For the record, the CIA no longer condones the redacted, detailed in the redacted, that may or may not have happened in the redacted eulogy delivered by Redacted.
Amen.
Amen. Now, please join us in the closing hymn.
Secret Agent Man.
Secret Agent Man.
They've given you a number. And take away your name.
President Trump met with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un in Singapore for a historic
photo op
peace summit. While the historical significance of this historic
photo op
negotiation remains unclear, the world remains hopeful that this historic
photo op
meeting will produce a peaceful solution to a tense situation. Media outlets from all over the world have flocked to the tiny island city-state of Singapore to cover this historic
photo op
summit between two world leaders, hoping to put aside their differences and produce a meaningful
photo
solution. Barely Audible Whisper sent a correspondent to Singapore to cover the
photo op
summit.
Every media outlet in the world has descended upon the tiny city-state of Singapore. Journalists are so crammed together, there's more human bodies being involuntarily pressed against than on audition in Harvey Weinstein's office. I managed to lodge myself directly in between the live feeds of state-controlled North Korean media and Fox News, which is really creepy because I keep hearing things like this.
This summit demonstrates the brilliant and courageous leadership of President Trump.
North Korea.
America is truly blessed to be so wonderfully represented by the bold leadership of President Trump.
Criticizing
President Trump is un-American. I'm convinced that President Trump could walk into a den of lions
and
come out a winner.
Almost as weird and creepy as that is the fact that I had to interview Dennis Rodman. I didn't want to interview Dennis Rodman, but I'm with a media outlet, so he started yelling at me.
I'm so happy. Kim Jong-un is a wonderful man. He's a humanitarian.
He has brutally murdered thousands of his own people.
I don't know about politics. I know about basketball. I told Obama that Kim was a kind man who wanted to open his heart to America in peace. And Obama blew me off. Can you believe that? What kind of a president ignores Dennis Rodman when he tells him that Kim Jong-un is awesome and just wants peace and love in the world? That's what's great about Trump. Trump listens to Dennis Rodman when it comes to important decisions about international relations. I'm so happy!
The fact that President Obama ignored Dennis Rodman while President Trump takes him seriously is the most tangible example thus far of why I miss President Obama.
President Trump is far superior to Obama. Everything bad in North Korea is Obama's fault.
Meanwhile, the summit itself turned out to be overhyped and relatively unimportant.
This historic summit is the most historic summit in the history of summits. President Trump will forever be remembered in history for this historically historic summit.
The good news is that they signed something. The bad news is that the thing they signed isn't really anything.
President Trump looked so presidential signing such a historical document.
The really bad news is that Trump agreed to halt American participation in the joint war game training exercises, in which the American and South Korean military conduct defensive drills along the border. That is a major American concession for which America got nothing but a vaguely worded, non-binding promise in return. Objectively, North Korea came out ahead in this summit. Kim Jong-un gets the legitimacy and prestige of meeting an American president as an equal, as well as a major concession on war games, and America gained nothing.
Trump's a great negotiator. He didn't get nothing. He got, you know, Trump won. Because Justin Trudeau sucks.
In addition to heaping legitimacy onto Kim Jong-un by holding the summit, President Trump heaped praise onto Kim Jong-un at a press conference.
Kim Jong-un is very talented. He plays the banjo and tap dances, and he can juggle. He loves his people, even though he murders them a lot. He murders them with love. He has deep and loving eyes. The kind of eyes that say, we can have sex and I won't violate our non-disclosure agreement afterward.
President Trump is the greatest president America has ever known. I never thought I'd say this, but he is even better than Ronald Reagan.
That's all the news from Singapore, where Donald Trump delivered his most anticlimactic performance since Stormy Daniels. At least he didn't get us all killed. Yet.
Empathy is vicariously feeling the thoughts, feelings, and experiences of another. The incapability to feel empathy is rare in the general population, but it is a job requirement in the Trump White House.
It is no surprise, then, that Attorney General Sessions has this to say about people who leave their homes and countries in fear of their lives.
The asylum statute does not provide redress for all misfortune. I prefer to state my despicable views in generalized phrases that are inarguably true. For example, when I say that some crimes are so vile the perpetrator does not deserve to live, what I mean is that I want to execute gay people.
Not to be outdone, Trump advisor and Muppet villain Stephen Miller said this about the asylum policy as it stood before Trump took office.
We effectively have a policy where if you make an unproven assertion up front of having quote-unquote credible fear, that you could be released into the United States almost immediately. If I put enough sarcastic sauce in my descriptions of things, I can make anything sound ridiculous. For example, we effectively have a policy in this country where anyone can personally make laws if they can get most of the people who live near them to vote for them.
It seems that Sessions and the Trump team believe that getting into America is as easy as getting your weed card in California. Just claim a symptom and come on in.
While we could do an interview with a woman who has endured the hardship of being battered by her partner, lives in terror of gang violence, and cannot have faith in her government to protect her, this is a comedy program, so we're all depressed enough already.
Instead, Barely Audible Whisper will take you inside the mind of Jeff Sessions, where we will see what he believes asylum seekers look like.
Jose mi amor, I want to be in America. Everything free in America.
But Maria, we were born here in Mexico, or Guataragua, or Honduramala, or something. This is where we belong.
But imagine, if I could cross El Bordero and get in, I could make mucho dinero.
It's not a bad idea. Heck, if you get caught, they just send you back here for free. It's basically like a vacaciono.
Oh no, mi amor. I would get in legally. They make it so easy thanks to Presidente Obama.
No comprendo.
And then, when I'm in, you get to come too because of chain migration.
This sounds too easy, Maria. They don't just allow todos personos to come in.
I will be an asylum seeker, Jose. I will tell them you beat me, and I'm afraid of all the gangs in this country.
What gangs? We sent them all to America already.
They don't know that. We all believe America is stupido.
That's right, we do.
Gracias, Obama.
Won't they check you for bruises?
Es posible.
It's too bad I'm not a rapist or a murderer, like all the people we usually send to America.
I've never understood how we do that. Do we just load all of our rapists and murderers on trucks and send them across the border? Also, if we've gotten rid of them, why do I now want to leave here and go to the country where they send all of our rapists and murderers?
You're overthinking it, Maria. We're voices in Jeff Sessions' head. We're not supposed to think things through.
Of course, lo siento.
I suppose I could hit you a little bit so that your story is believable.
Si, bien.
There. Did that hurt at all?
No, mi amor.
How about this?
That will never leave a bruise, Jose.
I cannot do it.
I can just say that my bruise has healed on the long journey to El Bordero.
Good plan. That's gonna be a dangerous journey. Are you sure it's worth leaving the comfort of our home?
Of course. Señor Trump is presidente now, and he's making America great again.
Oh yes, I remember.
The only thing that would convince me to stay here and not go to America is if they treat immigrants horribly and stop allowing people across El Bordero who have tiny little problemos a la casa, like domestic abuse or gang violence.
Well, you'd better hurry, because Jeff Sessions is much smarter than Obama, because he is El Gringo.
But first, make love to me, Jose.
Poor Kay, Maria.
I want an anchor baby!
Maria and Jose then made passionate love for 2 hours inside Jeff Sessions' head, screaming passionate exclamations in terrible Alabama Spanglish. We don't have time for the whole thing, but here's a small snippet.
Dios mio!
See how big my Pedro is!
Madre mia, fondo matitas grandes!
Ay, mamacita!
And so on. And if you're ever wondering what's going on in Jeff Sessions' head during those awkward silences, now you know.
Thank you for listening to Barely Audible Whisper, a NPR parody podcast, made possible by the following very real work of the following very real people: writer and co-host Dave Baldwin, co-host and actress Molly Brown, writer and actor Daniel Carter Brown, actors Emily Sams Brown and Corey Burns, and a special thanks to actor Michael Morgan, who was not in tonight's episode, but did a great job in last week's episode, and I forgot to mention him in the credits, because I'm a jerk. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to us on your podcast deals, follow us on your social media deals, and share us with all your friends. We appreciate it.